As we continue into our series of the Christmas experience, I would like to share a message with you today that I have entitled God's Plan. So many times when we think of the plans of God and how God would do things, from our perspective, realizing that God is all-powerful, God is almighty, He is sovereign, He can move, He causes kingdoms to rise and to fall, so we know that God is able to do absolutely anything. And yet when things don't look like they're going so very, very smoothly, we think, is something wrong, or have I done something wrong, or is God really mixed up in what He's doing? Because it sure doesn't look like this would be a plan of God. And as we consider how Jesus came and the circumstances surrounding His, first of all, the impregnation of Mary, around where they had to go for Him to be born, all these kinds of things really, in some people's mind, caused them to question, what was God thinking? Why was it that He was doing it this way? But first of all, what I want to look at is God's choice of parents. And if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 1 and verses 26 through 38, we read this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but now she is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. So here we see part of God's choice regarding the parents to bear forth His Son in this passage of Scripture. We see Mary's response to the angel of the Lord saying, "I am the Lord's servant." Her servant heart was a part, I believe, of why it was that God was able to use her. She was going to have to go through a lot of misunderstanding for what was going to happen to her in her life. But yet she said, "I am the Lord's servant," and she said, "May everything you have said about me come true." There was the reality of what would be an apparent scandal as she was purporting to be herself a virgin, and yet here before becoming married, she was going to be with child. So again, it looked like that she was not a virgin. It looked like there was this scandal, which would bring shame to her family, which would bring shame to Joseph. And yet in all of that, there was this understanding of what she was going to give and that she was willing to do it, to be a servant, and for everything that the Lord had said to come true. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, it says this, "This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit." Now, last week, I shared with you just a little bit of a teaser on Mary attempting to tell Joseph that she was pregnant. Would you like me to conclude that video here today? Yes. Okay, so here we go. We're going to show Mary again in her attempt to tell Joseph.
Joseph, I need to talk to you.
Mary.
Oh.
What, you didn't know that your husband likes to play in the mud like an unclean pig? As I see it, small price to pay to secure a home for my future bride. Are you all right?
Well, I'm sorry. I don't know where to begin, Joseph. It's so incredible what's about to happen to me, to us. And it's hard to find the right words to...
Mary, I am just as speechless as you are. I cannot find the words to describe what it will be like to live every day in our own home with you by my side. Laugh together, talk together, grow old together.
You have it all planned out, don't you?
Of course I do. I've thought of little else since the day I knocked that water bucket out of your hands and you admitted you'd been watching me.
I did not admit.
All right. You didn't admit it, but you had been.
Joseph, I'm just as excited as you are about our future, excited to share life with you. But what if things don't turn out the way you think they will? What if God has different plans for us?
It is always possible for God to take a life down a path that is unexpected.
Exactly. That's what I want to talk to you about.
I can't imagine God would concern himself with the lives of ordinary people like us. I am sure that we will live our lives as our fathers lived and as our fathers' fathers. We are a link in the chain that has reached back for generations and will reach forward for generations to come. I cherish that. I thank God every day for ordinary.
No, that's what I'm trying to tell you. We won't have an ordinary life.
What's wrong?
Joseph, I'm going to... I'm going to... visit my cousin, Elizabeth, tomorrow. And I don't know when I'll be back.
Okay, so we're still left hanging just a bit here, or certainly Joseph is. I mean, we know because we were witness to the angel coming to Mary, and we have the word of God. But at this point in this series, Joseph does not yet know. And but Mary goes on to visit Elizabeth then, and you can see that in Luke chapter 2, and beginning with verse 39, it says this. Luke 1? Okay, thank you. Yeah, I made a mistake there. Change your notes. Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 39. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." And here's the point in this. Again, one of the reasons why Mary was chosen to be the mother of the Savior of the world was because of the faith that she had. When the angel of the Lord came and spoke the word of the Lord about how she would conceive, as Elizabeth said, "You are most blessed, you are favored because you believed all what the Lord had said." And then it goes on into the prayer of Mary, or her response to what had happened, beginning with verse 46. Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, For he took notice of his lowly servant, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered it to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. And it says Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her home. So when once Mary returns to her home, it's not very long before the discovery of her pregnancy soon came to its full front, if you know what I mean. And so here we're going to finally see how Joseph discovers, again, the scripture doesn't say exactly how he discovered that Mary was pregnant. And so it may have been something like this.
An angel appears to Mary and tells her, "Do not be afraid. She has been favored by God and would give birth to his son, the long-awaited Messiah." She rejoices and praises the Lord. But what would she tell Joseph? Was he really expected to believe that his fiancée was still a virgin, even though she was with child? Imagine what it was like for Joseph to hear the news.
Eli, welcome. What are you doing out? What's wrong?
I ought to strangle you. I ought to choke the life out of you with my bare hands.
What is it? What's wrong?
I trusted you, Joseph. I trusted you. You swine!
I don't understand why
you defiled her. You dishonor her, yourself, and both of our families.
That's enough, Eli! I don't know what's wrong with you, but I will never allow anyone to speak that way about my betrothed.
You care about her honor now, after what you've done. Stoned. Stoned to death.
What?
My sweet Mary.
Eli?
Could be stoned.
Eli, look at me. What are you talking about?
Did you think no one would notice? Did you think... belly would grow bigger and bigger and no one would see?
Belly.
You don't know, do you? She is with child.
You are mistaken.
There's no mistake. Soon this entire village will know that Mary is carrying your child.
Mary. Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. Do you think I would come here and say something like that if I didn't know for sure, if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes? She's carrying your child.
No, she's not.
I just told you.
I did not say she's not with child. Saying that it is not my.
Not your child.
I love her. I haven't touched her, I swear.
You haven't. If it's not yours, then
whose? I don't know. But I'm going to find out.
Miriam, take the children and go.
Come, children. I don't understand.
What man has defiled you?
No man has touched me. I did not ask to be chosen, but it is the will of God, and I am his servant.
What are you saying?
This child is from God. An angel came to me But he told me not to be afraid, that I had found favor in the eyes of God and that I had been chosen to bear a son, and that God would give him the throne of his father David and he would reign.
How dare you utter such blasphemy in this house?
And I asked the angel how I could be with child, since I am a virgin. And he told me that the power of the Most High would overshadow me, and that they would call him the Son of God.
Silence! I will not listen to another word! It's bad enough that you have defiled yourself, dishonored your family, but to lie, to make up... You make me sick.
Joseph?
Who is he?
His name! I have a right to know.
Joseph, I told you there's no one
in here. Stop! Stop lying, Mary. I thought you loved me.
Nothing wrong. I'm innocent in God's eyes.
You are not innocent anymore.
Do you understand?
Joseph, please,
Mary,
please,
you
Joseph,
could be stoned to death for what you have done!
Please, Joseph. Everything I've told you is the truth. You have to believe me.
No.
In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 19, it speaks of Joseph and describes him as being a good man and one who did not want to disgrace her publicly. And so he decided to break the engagement quietly. When we're talking about God's choice of parents, again, we can see the character and the nature of this one who, in finding out that Mary was pregnant, again, was considerate of her and considerate of the reputation of her and her family. And so he did not want to shame her. He could have said Mary is to be stoned. Legally, according to Jewish law, she could have been. But Joseph, again, in his character, in his nature, as it describes him, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. But Joseph needs some help here. He's not getting it directly from Mary or believing it. So God comes to his aid and helps him in this dream.
Joseph. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
The virgin will be with child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel.
The Gospel of Matthew points out that after Joseph had considered what he would do, an angel finally appeared to him in a dream and explained what God was doing through his fiancée Mary.
Mary! Mary, please open the door! Mary!
Joseph, what do you want at such an hour?
Joseph.
Mary, please forgive me. Will you be my wife?
Joseph, what has happened to you?
We are to call him Jesus. He will save his people from their sins.
Do any of you all cry at movies? Now I got to read my paper here, and I can't see it very well. Anyway, again, we can see the response of Joseph to the dream of the angel of the Lord. And he, in Matthew chapter 1, I'll have you turn there with me if you will. Matthew chapter 1 and verses 24 and 25, it says, "When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until his son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus." So we see here again, Joseph did as the angel of the Lord commanded. Again, another part of the character and the nature of Joseph and the choice of the Lord in picking them, Mary and Joseph, as the father and mother of Jesus. When we consider God's choice of Mary and Joseph, we see these things. First of all, there was no status advantage as a result of him being born into that family. There was no financial advantage. This was a poor couple. They were absolutely ordinary people. And consider Nazareth's reputation. We hear that later when one of the disciples says, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Nazareth had a reputation of there's not much good there. And so certainly in the plan of God, when we consider again, God Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, God, sovereign God, who can make all things work, this is his plan. It really causes us to question, and certainly there could have been a better plan. But again, regarding the choice of Mary and Joseph, I believe this scripture comes into play when we see from Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." I believe this is descriptive of both Mary and Joseph, that they considered justice. They wanted to do what was right. And yet in the middle of doing what was right, as it says, Joseph did not want to bring shame upon Mary. He loved kindness. He was that nature, that kind of a nature of a person. And then to walk humbly with your God, so much that when all of the circumstances made it look as though they were in a scandal, yet they would humble themselves to do the will of God, become his servant, and have his will done in their life. Well, then, as if there hasn't been enough challenge, there are more challenges that are on the way. And we'll see this now in the decree that comes and what's going to result from that decree. Here we go.
Dwell in the land of Caesar Augustus, Emperor of Rome. It has been decreed that a census be taken of all citizens of the empire. Each person will report immediately to the towns of their ancestry to be registered. Silence, dogs! Do not tempt me. I'd love nothing more than to have fewer of you to count. In 2 weeks, all people will be counted and taxed. Compliance is decreed this day in the lands and possessions of the great and royal Caesar!
Joseph, what does this mean?
It means we have to go to Bethlehem.
Now? No, I can't go. I won't make it. The baby won't make it.
We have no choice.
But Joseph, how am I supposed to walk 70 miles when I can barely walk to the well? And where will we sleep on the road? And what if I have the baby while we're traveling? What if...
I will take care of you. I will take care of you.
And this is God's plan? Again, it seems really that he could have done something easier or better than what was happening. So here we have a 70-mile trip to Bethlehem with Mary being 9 months pregnant. And they go to register for the census. That's the reason to get them to Bethlehem. Now we understand, according to prophecy, that Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem. So some way or another, they needed to get to Bethlehem. It says in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah, yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past." And so again, according to prophecy, this child had to be born in Bethlehem, and this is the way that they end up getting there, is through a census taken by Caesar. You know, in my mind, when I'm thinking God and his ability and God and his plans, you know, why didn't Joseph receive a commission to build someone's house in Bethlehem? And while they were there, they had accommodations for them to live. He and his wife, his son or his child to be born. Why wasn't that part of God's plan? I mean, that would have been something you could have looked back on and said, wow, that was God. But let's go with that one. There could be a better way of doing this, Lord. I mean, we all have ideas that we think would be a better way of doing what God has to be done. But so here we see it's a 70-mile journey. Mary's 9 months pregnant. They're going because of this census to be taken. And oh, by the way, there's no lodging available once they get there. This is the plan of God? Come on, God, you could do better than that, I would think, especially for your son. This is God's plan? Years ago when we were making the transition to ministry that the Lord had called us to, there was quite a season where we were phasing out of the farming and phasing into, really our start was in preparation for ministry before we ever began to start the church here. But during that season, it was a very, very difficult time. And we were second-guessing some of the decisions that we had made, not necessarily in the transition. We understood that. We were going with full force faith and trust in the Lord regarding what was to happen, the choice that we were making to go into ministry. But we were second-guessing some of our choices, like, why did we ever start milking cows? Why did we ever have dairy? You know, why didn't we just settle for what we were having, or backing up even further? Lord, why did we ever purchase this farm when you had it in your mind for us to go into ministry? Couldn't you have warned us ahead of time or something like that? We always, you know, we're questioning that and just really struggling through the issues, a lot of it being financial. And in the midst of that challenge, in the midst of that struggle, we were at a minister's meeting, and the individual who was leading that meeting, being very spiritually oriented, pulled Melanie out of the crowd and said, "What you are doing is you are seeing the backside of the tapestry." She didn't know what was going on. This minister did not know what was going on with us, so it wasn't like we had said anything. This was just perceived of the Lord. "You are looking at the backside of the tapestry, and you see this black thread in there, and you don't know why that's there. But if you turn around that tapestry, you see how it gives definition to the picture that is there." And with that word of the Lord, we understood that, yes, there's things that happen. There's plans that are being carried out. And in our minds, we're thinking, God, what are you doing? But in the plan of God, he knows, and he has a way of doing things. And sometimes it's those black threads in our lives that are bringing definition to us as people, bringing definition to us as individuals, to our life, to our witness, to our testimony, to our ministry. And we second guess God and his plans and saying, do you really know what you're doing? But we need to back off and say, you know, wow, this is God. I mean, think about, again, we see some biblical experiences of people going through seasons where what we would maybe call the black thread on the back of the tapestry. Think about Joseph when he was thrown into the pit by his brothers. Now, would he have looked at that and gone, wow, that was God? You know, typically it's the good things that happen in our lives that we go, you know, you should hear what happened to me. That had to be the Lord. How many times do we give the challenging, discouraging, you know, I had to walk 70 miles when I was pregnant, 9 months pregnant. Wow, that was God. We don't do that. In fact, we want to rebuke the devil when those kinds of things are happening. You should see what circumstances I have to deal with. Pray for me. God's, you know, not answering my prayers or whatever. And we think about Joseph not only in the pit, but then sold into slavery. Did he go, wow, that was God? He was faithful to the Lord, but I kind of question whether that was his response. And then being falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and ending up put in prison, did Joseph go, wow, that must have been God? You know, typically that kind of thing would not happen. Now, once he ended up in the palace with Pharaoh, he could look back on those things. And even when his brothers came to him with repentance, when they found out this is Joseph, and they bowed before him just as the dream had been shared with Joseph when he was younger, he looked at them and he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So he was able then to look back and say, wow, that was God. How many times are we going through the issues or going through the challenges and we're not saying, wow, that was God? We're questioning the plan of God and saying, do you really know what you're doing? Max Lucado has, he makes this comment. He says, in Scripture, there's a lot of white space. In other words, there is a lot of things that we don't know the details about when we see things happening. But this may have been a prayer that Joseph prayed. And authored by Max Lucado, I would like to share that prayer with you. This isn't the way I planned it, God. Not at all. My child being born in a stable, this isn't the way I thought it would be. A cave with sheep and donkeys, hay and straw. My wife giving birth with only the stars to hear her pain. This isn't at all what I imagined. No, I imagined family. I imagined grandmothers. I imagined neighbors clustered outside the door and friends standing at my side. I imagined the house erupting with the first cry of the infant, slaps on the back, loud laughter, jubilation. That's how I thought it would be. The midwife would hand me my child and all the people would applaud. Mary would rest and we would celebrate. All of Nazareth would celebrate. But now look. Nazareth is 5 days' journey away. And here I am in a sheep pasture. Who will celebrate with us? The sheep? The shepherds? The stars? This doesn't seem right. What kind of husband am I? I provide no midwife to aid my wife, no bed to rest her back. Her pillow is a blanket from my donkey. My house for her is a shed of hay and straw. The smell is bad. The animals are loud. Why, I even smell like a shepherd myself. Did I miss something? Did I, God? When you sent the angel and spoke of the son being born, this isn't what I pictured. I envisioned Jerusalem, the temple, the priests, and the people gathered to watch. A pageant, perhaps. A parade. A banquet, at least. I mean, this is the Messiah. Or if not born in Jerusalem, how about Nazareth? Wouldn't Nazareth have been better? At least there I have my house and my business. Out here, what do I have? A weary mule, a stack of firewood, and a pot of warm water. This is not the way I wanted it to be. This is not the way I wanted for my son. Oh my, I did it again. I did it again, didn't I, Father? I don't mean to do that. It's just that I forgot. He's not my son. He's yours. The child is yours. The plan is yours. The idea is yours. And forgive me for asking, but is this how God enters the world? The coming of the angel, I've accepted. The questions people asked about the pregnancy, I can tolerate. The trip to Bethlehem, fine. But why a birth in a stable, God? Any minute now, Mary will give birth. Not to a child, but to the Messiah. Not to an infant, but to God. That's what the angel said. That's what Mary believes. And God, my God, that's what I want to believe. But surely you can understand, it's not easy. It seems so bizarre. I'm unaccustomed to such strangeness, God. I'm a carpenter. I make things fit. I square off the edges. I follow the plumb line. I measure twice before I cut once. Surprises are not the friend of a builder. I like to know the plan. I like to see the plan before I begin. But this time I'm not the builder, am I? This time I'm a tool. I'm a hammer in your grip, a nail between your fingers, a chisel in your hand. This project is yours, not mine. I guess it's foolish of me to question you. Forgive my struggling. Trust does not come easy to me, God. But you never said it would be easy, did you? As you think about that, as you consider that, again, I want to encourage you to accept what God did, and it was by His design. By God's design, we see the greatest ever example of humility. And that I will share with you more next week in next week's message about the humility of our Jesus. He was not born in a king's palace. If Jesus had been born the son of a king, people would have said, look what power can do. If he would have been born into a prominent family, people would have said, look what fame can do. If he would have been born into a wealthy home, people would have said, look what money can do. But instead, when we see the life and the outcome of Jesus, his birth, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, the only thing that people could say is, look what God can do. I want you to consider that when you see that God uses the most unlikely people in the most unlikely places, a dirt poor couple from a nothing town, no prominence, no connections, a 70-mile journey at 9 months pregnant, and then no room in the inn. This is the birth of the Son of God. When things don't go according to what we think would be a good plan, God is still at work and accomplishing His purposes. So I want to encourage you that whatever your circumstances, God is bigger and can use them to accomplish His purpose. He can use the black thread in the tapestry on the backside of your tapestry of your life to give definition to you and to your life and to your ministry. As we draw near to this child being born in our Christmas experience, the birth of the Son of God, overcoming all the obstacles that seem adverse to this plan of God, I want you to watch what God will do. And when it comes to applying this to yourself and to your own life and to your own adverse circumstances, I want to encourage you to watch what God will do.